Hi everyone, you're very welcome back, or for the first time here, to our channel NarcCon. On this channel, we deal with all things in relation to the narcissistic personality disorder in order to understand a dynamic or relationship we may have been in, to heal from it, to protect ourselves going forward, and to really thrive going forward. So in understanding what we've been through, I believe, is the starting point of our recovery, and we deal with different aspects here on NarcCon. Today, before I start this podcast, which is going to be about how the narcissist sold you a dictatorship disguised as a democracy in your relationship. So we'll get into that in relation to how it starts and how they maneuver that into the presentation of it being equal, the relationship being equal and being a democracy, into something that is clearly just a relationship that they have control over, akin to a dictatorship in the state of your relationship. So I would like to thank a person, a subscriber, a client who very, very generously and kindly commissioned a portrait of our co-producer on NarcCon. And for anyone who's on listening to this on podcast, sorry you can't see it. Hop over to YouTube if you'd like to see the work. It's beside the living personification of it. He's sitting beside, lying beside his portrait over there. It is an astounding piece of work. I absolutely adore it. Thank you for your generosity, and thank you also to people who have sent us donations for the work and emails telling us that you've escaped your situation and that the information has been of value. That keeps us going. Thank you. So without further ado, the intimate relationship is probably one of the best relationships that displays all of the narcissistic personality disordered behavior cycle. It's a more intense cycle usually, and it's easier to describe or point out because most of the manipulations are used in the intimate setting. This nucleus of a relationship with a narcissist spreads out into all types of relationships. It spreads into family, workplace, and friends, and it spreads further into our world on earth, into the workplace, and it spreads into the political arenas as well. So if you understand it, I guess, at the home level, at the base level, you'll be able to understand how it's operating in the bigger picture of our world. And indeed, another one of our lovely community sent me an email saying that, well, obviously, one of the online narcissists that give us this education, which I'm grateful for, obviously must have read the book or come up with the idea synchronicity. So that's not the right word, but I know you know what I mean. And has decided that there's a movement of narcissists within our world, which is well described in the book. Weaponized Love, for anyone that doesn't know, that book is just out, Weaponized Love, about how narcissists invade humanity and present as humans, and that there is an invasion of narcissists, and we're uncovering it at the moment. There probably always was, but they find it easier to spread their message with the help of the internet, etc. And they're causing a lot of division and disturbance in our society at the moment. And that has been described apparently in a podcast by one of the online narcissists who educates us. So thank you for reading the book. Okay, so let's get into this. So in the beginning of the relationship, a narcissist offers you, and I've really thought about this long and hard, as to why a narcissist has such success with people in gaining their trust and loyalty and building a sense of security in people, where they opt to go into the relationship despite their reservations, some reservations, despite warnings to the contrary, maybe from their family or friends. And I've thought about this, and I think this is, in a nutshell, what a narcissist does. The narcissist, first of all, concentrates on you, obviously, and we know that in the love bombing stage, and makes you feel wonderful. But basically, they find out what you want. Like, what's going to buy me? What's going to do my buy-in? What's going to get me in there? What are you looking for? I have it. I'm selling it. I'm a traveling salesperson. Like, I'm going to find out what you want. Tell me what you want. I'll give it to you. Now, the narcissist has no intention of this. They're future faking, unless one of the things that you want synchronizes with something that they want. And they will present it then as doing it for you, but it's something that they wanted anyway. Most of what they promise, what you ask for, is not going to be delivered. So they're the future faking promises that get them the foot in the door. I can do this for you. I have this for you, and you deserve this. You deserve this. So, like, vote me into your relationship. I'm here for you. They also present, in my experience, as very confident. And that's very attractive, particularly with people. And a lot of us have had these experiences with other narcissists as we were growing up or in relationships, perhaps in the middle of relationships or the end of them, where we were very confused about the non-direct approach, maybe the passive-aggressive approach with someone, with a friend, for instance, who we never know where we stand with, or we ask them for something and they keep withholding and promising it some date in the future when they could just give us the thing we ask for now, or a direct answer, yes or no. So when a narcissist says, I know what you want, I can give it to you, and this is the way I'm going to do it, that confidence is very reassuring. It's very validating, and it gives you a sense of security. Whereas before, you may have backed away from a relationship, backed away from a person, you felt uneasy. This person isn't pussyfooting around. This person is saying, you know, I'm going to give you what you want, and this is the way I'm going to do it. So they establish that sense of trust and security in you. And the other thing that they do is they appear to be without filters. They appear to be non-careful. They appear to be willing to share everything with you, even their bad behavior, so that they, you know, they're not hiding anything. And this is a total false presentation. This is to buy your trust and to buy your confidences and for them to get to know better how to manipulate you, because if they seem to be vulnerable, they seem to be behaving badly and they don't care, you know, because they want you to see all of them, then you are more likely to open up to them and be vulnerable to them, which gives them the key into how to get you to buy in to the relationship. Now, at this point, they're offering you, you know, equality. They're offering you freedom. They're offering you a chance to grow as a person. They're offering you, as well as that, in addition to that, they're offering you everything you could ask for. And it seems nearly too good to be true. And things that seem too good to be true very often are. They need a bit of questioning if it all comes at once. You know, I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. There is the exception to every rule. But in general, things don't just suddenly all come, everything you want, without issue. And, you know, doesn't seem to be any downside to it. That's kind of unbalanced. In any case, when you've done the buy-in with the narcissist, they then require and request more control over you. In addition to that, when they're doing the buy-in, they may manipulate your friends and family and love bomb your friends and family in order to get your friends and family to recommend them to you so that you are more trusting that the relationship is going to be good for you. Not all narcissists succeed with this, but it is a pure stunt as such to get the buy-in. Now, they will try and establish more control over you, with you with the idea that you're in a democracy, that it, this is going to be a productive relationship, that you're working towards the same goals. In actual fact, that's a total illusion or delusion. They may come up with some of the goodies they promised you, but only because it suits them and that's what they want in the relationship. They may come up with some of the goodies that they promised you in order to get you to buy into the next stage, a stage that they may want to buy a property with you, marry you, get you pregnant, get into a business with you. Anything that further establishes their control may tell you not to work your job, give up your job, so that they are more in control of the finances. They may ask you to move to a different area where, away from friends and family, where you're going to be more isolated so that they can have more traction with you faster to control you better. So essentially, once you're established, once they're in the power in your relationship, then they begin to do what they want to do. They resented having to put themselves out to in order to gain your approval of them, because they just needed control of you and they resent having had to work at getting control of you. So now they're going to reap the rewards of their hard work, so to speak.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
They will get you as controlled as possible, and then they will start becoming the dictator or becoming the creature behind the mask. It will start to come out more. They'll keep putting the mask up to you every now and again, but that's not who they are. They want to rule the relationship, and it is total control. There's no such thing as a grey area. The narcissist needs you to comply in everything, and they will bring in new rules that you would never have thought possible. They will also stop you from escaping. They want to remain in control of you, your assets, and your extended family, and whoever they need to be in control of for them to maintain power. They will do whatever is necessary. So they may not let you escape this relationship, i.e. you may never get the chance to choose anybody else again, because you've bought into this monster, and this monster has started to growl and started to pin you down and control you. Now, luckily, people do escape in relationships. In regimes such as this, you can never see a dictator coming, or it's difficult to see a dictator coming for a lot of people that don't understand narcissism. So I'm just putting that out there for what it's worth. Now, in the instance that you don't buy into the narcissist, or you buy into the relationship and the narcissist is in power, and you decide that you can see warning signs and red flags and you start to get very worried, or you escape the relationship before they're actually in power, and you advocate for yourself and you look very carefully at what's important to you, what's important to your life, and you choose a different relationship. You choose something, even if it doesn't measure up totally, is less dangerous, is more in line with what you want for people. You know, a democracy where in the relationship you're going to have some voice, you're going to be able to share, you're going to be able to discuss things, you're going to be able to have different points of view. If this happens, the narcissist has to always win. So if you've sidelined the narcissist by not allowing them or going into a relationship with them, or having been in a relationship with them, start to criticize them to the public, the narcissist is not going to allow that. The narcissist has to win. So if the narcissist doesn't win one way, they will win another way. And the other way they win is by smearing your name, by blame shifting, by causing division, by smashing your democracy of the new relationship that you're in, saying it's fake and it's false, saying you're the reason that, you know, the relationship doesn't work. You're the reason for the chaos. You're telling lies. It wasn't the narcissist's fault. The narcissist was telling the truth on everything, even though the truth was pretty fantastic in relation to what they were saying and promising. Even though they have a record of reneging on the principles of democracy that you want in your new relationship. Even though they have offences against people where people say, you know, in past relationships, this person broke the laws of relationships. This person abused me. This person did this wrong. This person only cares about themselves. This person says they're up for everybody, that they want the best for me and you and them. They only want the best for them. But they need you and me to buy into what they're selling. Once you buy in and you're trapped, it is very difficult to get out of that dictatorship, to come back to a place of democracy, because they will cause so much division between people. They will gaslight people to not believe the truth, to no longer believe what they've always believed, to disrupt stability, because the narcissist is best in a changing environment. The narcissist will pit people against each other in order to fight their battles, so they will come out winning. So they will be in power. So the smear campaign ensues. People don't know who to believe. People decide they have to believe something. And usually the narcissist is promising fairy tales, is promising nirvana, is promising everything's going to be fine. You can have what you want. You know, it'll be like old times. We'll have such fun again together. That nasty person that you've gotten into the relationship with, or that's telling you, you know, you have to look at things, you know, you can't have everything you want, but we can negotiate on some things. Don't listen to them. They want the best for everyone, they say. Everyone can't have the best. It's me and it's my people and it's who I decide is going to be okay, is going to be okay. The narcissist ends up gaslighting you, your family, your friends, maybe the authorities. So there's one story here, one story there, and people don't know who to believe. So people who want what the narcissist is promising decide, well, I'll believe them and I'll fight for them. And they're probably right. It's very pathetic. It's very base. But if people don't know what a narcissist is, the confidence of them, the stories they tell, the way they take the truth and take a small piece of the truth and change the truth by creating a new narrative around that one piece of information. So what I would say to you is question, question, question. Don't accept pie in the sky promises. Monitor situations. be careful when somebody promises you everything. Ask them how they're going to deliver that. Think about how they're going to deliver it. Look at their background. Look at what they've done before. If a person causes divisiveness, and I don't mean when they're rooting for a good cause and people, you know, bring things to people's attention that is obvious, the things that are obviously wrong. I mean, if there's discrimination, if the person causes divisiveness or incites violence and goes against the principles of humanity and productivity and equality, even gaslighting you that they're not, look at the actions. Look at the past. Get the history on the person if it's a person you're going to get into a relationship with or business. Narcissism is a movement, as I've said in the book. It's a growing movement. And the narcissists are hopping onto that and telling us it's a growing movement. Well, no shit, Shirley. We know that and we've known that for a long time. So don't jump on that bandwagon and start telling us what we know, because you're a narcissist and you're the cause of the movement. And, you know, that, again, there's a gaslighting element to this. When the narcissists jump on the bandwagon of narcissism as a growing movement, well, hey. We don't need you to tell us it's a growing movement. We know it's a growing movement. And that's why we're doing things about it. That's why we're advocating for ourselves. That's why we're believing in the light, despite the fact that you're trying to make out that narcissists have all this power and that everybody is their victim and their target. People may be their targets, but we are not their victims. We are getting the education in our interpersonal relationships, in our workplace situations, and in our wider context of our communities and in our politics. So we need to really take care of the things that matter to us and follow our principles accordingly and not get sidelined or not get time in our lives distracted by the worldly temptations and the falsities that narcissists present to us as gifts. All that glitters is not gold. I leave you with that one, guys. Always advocate for what you believe in and do a fact checker on people that say they believe in everything you believe in. If you don't know them, if you've no point of reference, check their past, check what they're saying, and be very, very careful going into a big area of your life, like marriage, like having a child, like buying a property, like going into business with one of these people. Because if you notice a change in their behavior after you're in a more vulnerable position with them, i.e. you're, say, having a baby with them, or you've had a baby, or you're getting married. If their behaviour changes after a life event such as that, or you giving up work and them saying they'll support you and their behaviour changes in a negative way, that is a very, very, very big red flag. And it means go no further. Back away. I hope that's been of some value. And again, thank you for that beautiful portrait of Remy. You know who you are. Take very great care of yourselves until we meet again for our next podcast, which is going to be an interesting one. Thanks, guys. Bye.